I'll now hand over to our three speakers today for their experience, strength, and hope on the topic of vision work that really works.
Hi, I'm Shauna from Brooklyn, New York, representing the Brooklyn Sunrise Visions meeting.
Hi.
Welcome all. I'm very excited to talk about visions because I went from being a woman who was $250,000 in debt, didn't own a car, a house, didn't have a pet, was divorced from my second or third spouse, had a young daughter, and I was in despair. I just didn't know how I would get out of debt. I had borrowed from everybody that I could have, my family, my friends. You know, my credit card limits were already bursting. I had supermarket credit cards and department store credit cards and gas credit cards. And I went to a financial planning service and I said, you know, here's my situation. And they looked at it and they go, you'll never get out of debt. Just declare bankruptcy and go on your way. And it's not that I'm against bankruptcy. It's that I bought all this stuff. I'm wearing all this stuff. I'd eaten all this stuff. Why, you know, I just can't pay it back the way those people wanted me to. So I found DA through other 12-step programs, and I came in and was very motivated. So I was keeping my numbers, going to meetings, getting a sponsor, and was not concerned about visions because I just wanted to reduce and eliminate my debt to have sanity and solvency. That was all I could care about. And I've gotten so much more. I've been in the program, I think I'm supposed to say, I'm a compulsive debtor and I have not incurred any new unsecured debt for the past 16 years, and I have been in for 30 years. Thank you. And I heard people say a vision without solvency was a hallucination. But it didn't mean anything to me because I certainly couldn't have a vision. All I could see was, you know, what am I going to go through today? Am I going to have creditors calling me? Am I going to find my mail full of unpaid bills? Am I going to be ashamed to see my family and friends? And little by little, I started being a little more serious, or I guess conscientious, because when I put my numbers and they asked me, my PRG people, my pressure relief group asked me to be give them a spending plan, I had debts. And then a little bit of money coming in, and these are all my expenses. They said, no. You pay your creditors last. You pay yourself first. You take good care of yourself. Self-care. Just be, you know, learn to love yourself, which seemed impossible. I hated myself. But it did work. It did work. Again, working the steps, having a sponsor, going to meetings, doing service, keeping my numbers. And gradually I realized that my whole attitude and outlook had changed, that I wasn't a crazy person who was hysterical, panicked, and wanted to kill herself and was a terrible mother, to somebody who was more reasonable, more patient, and who was gradually getting out of debt. And I had a page in a three-ring notebook for every single debtor. I mean, debt. I'm the debtor, and every creditor. And my PRG people told me, you know, start paying the smallest one first, even if it's $5 a month. Now, I thought, what good would that do? However, I learned that I finished that one, and I documented everything through that time. I knew who I'd talk to. I knew how much interest I owed. I knew all the conversations. And when I finished the first one, I was so happy. And then, you know, the next 50 pages were things that I gradually took care of. So it wasn't just that I was out of debt that I could start thinking about visions. Because you can have a vision now and today, even if you're not solvent, even if you, you know, have no clue. That for me, I was encouraged first to love myself, and then second, to have feelings that were okay, and third, to value the wisdom I was gaining, the sanity, sobriety. And so New York sponsors a Share a Day, which is speakers and talent shows, and very much like the Fellowship Day today. And they had a vision workshop where you made a treasure map, and they had all the magazines and the glues and the glitter and the markers and all of that stuff, and said, you don't have to even know what you want. Just tear things out that appeal to you, whether it's the color, whether it's the emotion it evokes. You know, you don't have to say, I want this, and so I'll find a picture of that. So I just, you know, had fun. And they said, and then go home and put it somewhere in your house where you can see it. And so I did. Kind of forgot about it. I would see it there. But then pretty early in DA, these miracles started to happen, and these things started to manifest. And, you know, unexpected money would come through the mail, or a person would invite me on a vacation that they had already paid for, but the person they were going with couldn't do it. You know, wonderful things like that. And I remember, I think one of the vision boards that I put on, there were these two, like, exotic women in these really incredible, colorful costumes. And there were mountains and lakes. There was a little white dog on a pillow. There were cars. There were houses. There were gardens. And there's this one couple. It was a black couple that was holding hands but leaning back, and you could see that she was obviously pregnant. And at that time, my daughter already had one son and didn't want any more. So I put that on the board, and lo and behold, I have two grandsons now. I built and own my own home. I have a little red sports car that I love. I have a rescue dog and a rescue cat. And I'll just digress for a second, but I was selling some of my wife's artwork at an art fair in Brooklyn, and sitting next to a friend, and said, oh, I want a little white dog. Never had a dog in my life. And then a woman comes walking by with her. I said, like that, you know, 10 pounds, female, trained, spayed, you know, just everything that I want. And she turns to me and she says, I have that exact dog. I said, why? She said, you don't know that I'm a dog boarder and trainer? I said, no, you're an artist and a mother. She said, I have this dog. This rich couple in Manhattan bought a pedigree dog, and they got a divorce, and neither of them wanted her. And I can't take it, because I have an animal who just had surgery, had a big cone around its neck. I just had a baby. I'm getting a divorce. I cannot. So the dog is just kind of stays at the kennel, you know? She said, just come and please look at it. So I looked at it, I fell in love, brought it home, and it's still alive today. It's just, it's an adorable pet. And, you know, that was just one thing. And it's not small, but it's that, you know, do concentrate on your solvency, concentrate on what you need as a person to love and value yourself. Let yourself be open. And I should speak for my own. I let myself be open to all the alternatives and opportunities and things that were coming to me. I didn't say, oh, I know I want this, because I had no idea what I wanted. But if something comes up and it just sounds, just go with it. Thank you. And so I have lived my life that way, and I have had a wonderful career. I've traveled on other people's money because I was working for them and they needed me to come to London, Dublin, Paris. I found this old carriage house with my wife, and it was the only thing we could afford in Brooklyn. And we were able to get a construction loan, and we built it. And now it literally is a mansion, and my daughter and son-in-law and two grandsons live with me. She went from hating me to really, we have such a good relationship. I'm telling you, this has been, DA's been good to me. So if you have any doubts about doing a vision board, just do it. If you have any specific things about visions, just say, I want this, God, or something better, and you'll get it, at least through my experience. So I'm so happy to be able to talk to you all today. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Jackie. I'm a recovering debtor.
Hi, Jackie.
I have to say, I'm a compulsive debtor. I have not incurred any new unsecured debt for 5 years. I've been in this program 20 years in July. And a little bit of my share, you know, I'll talk about coming in 20 years ago and having 5 year solvency. I'm from New York. My home group is a Zoom NorCal intergroup. I'm an ISR, and my home group is the Sunday night Berkeley meeting. And I live in Florida. So that's part of my vision. So incredibly grateful to be here, and like I can't even believe I'm standing up here. And so good to see faces from New York, where I got into this recovery program 20 years ago. And you know, my story is that I grew up in poverty, lots of feast or famine, and I perpetuated that. That's what I knew: have, don't have. Get it, get rid of it, make more and get rid of it, just couldn't hold on to it and couldn't maintain it. I came into this program through another fellowship, hearing the words, and didn't really get it, I didn't have a lot of debt, but I did, I made good money, I lived in Manhattan, and I had no savings. And I lived paycheck to paycheck, and it was just really stressful, And when I was younger and I had my two daughters, I just sort of blamed it on motherhood and single parenting, and that's just the way life is. And, later on without them, and I'm still doing this, it's like, what's up, And so I started coming to meetings, and I did not like the concept of keeping numbers. I didn't understand what that was going to do to help me. I just needed money, just give me money and everything will be fine. And that was followed by lots of jealousy for the people that like inherited chunks of money or sold their business and paid off their debt. And I was just like, I'm never going to pay off debt. Oh, my family's poor. They can drop dead and I'll probably have to pay for their funeral, which I did for my dad. So it was like, so that's how I was in early DA. And but I kept coming. I had a desire. I had an incredible desire to stop living that insane life. What helped me in my recovery was bottoming out in DA. So my bottom looked like living in New York and creating a vision, which was, I thought was a vision, but clearly was slightly delusional. I want to move to Arizona and drive a Jeep, So I moved to Arizona and I got a Jeep. And I didn't have a job. And so, I met somebody in the rooms and she had a room for rent. And, and I couldn't afford the rent. So I sold all the stuff that I had put in storage to pay the rent. And I'm in DA. And, my first bottom in DA, and that's what I needed to understand. I didn't really understand what compulsive debting was. I knew that I had issues with money, but I just didn't understand. And so I bopped around a little bit in Arizona, and, then I started to keep numbers, but I didn't know what to do with them. I just wrote them down. I had a book and, for a while I just had packs of receipts and then I'd get sick of looking at the receipts and I'd throw them away. And then I'd start writing them in a book and I'd keep the book, but like spreadsheets, what's that? So, I got a sponsor and did the steps and, decided, I know, I need to buy a condo. That's going to make me feel better. And now, you know, it's kind of hot in Arizona. Maybe I need a, I don't want a convertible anymore. So I got my dream vehicle, which, you know, was just, you know, my idea of beyond my wildest dreams was still stuff. It was stuff. And I never owned a home, so I was in that crazy thing in the 2000s or the late 90s, that crazy housing thing. So I got this townhouse, and I got this Hunter Green Land Rover with, you know, two sunroofs and all this stuff. And, you know, my sponsor did not recommend I do that, but I thought she wanted me to live in deprivation. So I did it anyway because I had to trust my vision. So, you know, it went along okay for a while, 5 minutes. So I want to get to some recovery here. Because I do have some now. And, you know, and so I went into this short sale thing, which is a nice way of saying foreclosure without being forced, and voluntarily repoed my Range Rover and moved into this little apartment where, you know, somebody broke in the window and bypassed my laptop and stole my bike, but, you know. And I started getting serious, like, okay, something is really challenging me with willingness. I was picking and choosing, and I don't know, it's just really, really baffled. And then, so I started doing PRGs, and one of the things was to pay off, this doesn't sound like a lot to me today when I hear other people, especially compared to my student loan debt, which is still over $200,000, I pay it, so I'm solvent, it's old debt, but I only had like $14,000 in credit card debt, but I never thought I would pay it off. You know, and they said, recommended first a moratorium, which I was like, are you kidding me? How can I not, like, debts come first? And then, you know, pay $5 after the 3 month moratorium, $5 a month. And then I had gotten some money. I think it was a tax refund. I don't remember where I got this money from. And I negotiated. Like, I learned how to do that in DA, that I negotiated with the creditors to pay off, I think it was 3 or 4 credit cards or something, and got all the credit wiped, paid off, right? So no credit cards, living on cash, which I've been doing for 19 years. I did that in my first year of recovery in when I moved to Arizona. But so I've been living on cash, you know, which blew my mind. Like, how is that ever going to happen, you know? And then I was getting PRGs regularly because I just could not keep staying in my own head trying to find the solutions, even though I was going to the meetings and worked the steps with my sponsor. And then the sponsor, who highly recommended I not buy a townhouse or a Range Rover, kindly let me go because I just was non-compliant and she was frustrated. And I get it, you know? So I got another sponsor, worked the steps. I still have her for whatever, 15, 17 years. And, you know, today, you know, my visions are with solvency. I know what to do with my numbers. I have spreadsheets. I have line items. They're not written in cement, but they're great guidelines. And I, in my mind, initially it was a budget, which meant restriction. The spending plan for me means, like, if I have X number of dollars left over in a certain line item and I need something else, I can move it. Like, I don't lose my solvency, right? I'm having clarity with my numbers, which I regularly check in on. I regularly look at my spending plan. I regularly balance my checkbook. And although I've gotten confused a little bit with the euros and the pounds, I've been in 3 countries now. But, you know, it's okay. 1 minute, I want to say that for the last 3 years, I built out a van. And for the last 3 years, I've been traveling the U.S. in a van, which is my vision, instead of the mansion and the Range Rover. And, you know, it's been incredible. It's just really been incredible. And I got here a week before and went to Paris. And when I tell you I come from poverty, I come from poverty. And, you know, the insanity of my first years of recovery, this vision of Paris, which I had in junior high, when somebody shared, just put the vision out there, you know, trusting my higher power. And I had the money. And my PRG people, because of course I have, like, I have to figure out how I'm going to, like, stretch it and work and did it. No. Have you been to Paris before? No. Go enjoy it. Pay for the Airbnb. You know, buy food. And, you know, I don't have to pack. And I'll just wrap up, like, you know, I don't know how the visions happen. I know that when I have clarity with my numbers, I go to meetings, I do service. The rest is up to my higher power, you know? And now I want to bring or buy a van and tour Europe in a van. And, you know, and I'm just really grateful. I'm just, like, beyond grateful. And, you know, just keep coming back. Just keep coming back.
Hi, I'm Amy S. from Los Angeles. I'm a debtor.
Hi.
I have been in DA 7 years. I've been solvent 7 years. I came in from the Fellowship of Relationships for many years, so I knew that program worked and I just needed to show up. So I'm all over the place in my head, but there's certain things I do want to touch on. Vision stood out to me. I'd had my first PRG in program, and I really thought they were going to put me on this tight budget. You know, I was going to live on this tight budget. I was ready to live on this tight budget. And their only advice to me was, we want you to get a massage every other week. And I nodded, and I was polite. And I'm like, what the hell? And I got that. I actually got that, I think, in almost every PRG I had, because I'm uptight. So once they didn't give me a budget, I was like, okay, what am I supposed to do exactly? So I'm good about keeping my numbers. I'm really overly responsible. So all those things I put in place and in practice, but I still didn't have really a clue. And I certainly wasn't leaning on my higher power when it came to money. I was terrified about money, all expenditures. Someone shared in our committee meeting the other day, she goes, I thought I was just savvier than everybody. Like, I knew how to pinch a penny, you know? And I totally appreciate that. I'm a deprivation addict and I know how to pinch a penny. And I think that's good. Like, every outfit I wore and bought is from the Goodwill, which is, I love going to Goodwill, so that's not a big deal. But I remember, you know, my first year, 2016, I'd had 3 major drugs fail on me, and they were 3 months long each study. So it was 9 months I wasn't working, and I was very scared. And that's why I came into DA. I listened to the podcast for 6 months before I had the courage to actually come into the rooms. And then when I came in the rooms, all these people, I knew them. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. But vision, like, really presented itself to me. So I wasn't working. I didn't have a lot of money. And I was kind of bored. Like, what do you do with all your time when you don't have any money and you're not working? And it happened to be Father's Day. And I went into the Goodwill. My father had died years ago, so I wasn't like I was thinking about him at all. I knew that was going to come. So my dad went to Africa when I was a little girl, like 7 years old, and he sent me postcards. I'm from a very big family of kids, and he brought back all these lovely things for us when he came back. And he brought me this gorgeous shell that, you know, when I was in my teenage years and my college years, like, I got rid of everything of subtlety and importance. You know, I was getting away from this life. I was going to have a different life. And that shell and other things disappeared. And so I'm in the Goodwill on Father's Day, not going to spend any money. And there's the exact shell my father got me. Oh, wow. Sorry. It's really powerful to me because I realized that at that moment, my higher power was telling me I could have anything in the world at any time. And it has to have meaning to me. Like, I don't need, you know, big fancy cars or expensive purses. I need things that have substance and depth to me. And that shell is it, you know. So I had that shell. It's on a collection of all these other beautiful shells. And that was like, oh my God, like, God really wants me to have what I want. I wrote this down. I said, vision wants to hear your heart's deepest, most true desire. Are you courageous enough to seek it? And this is still my problem today. You know, I sometimes, I had a big PRG about 3 months ago, and he said, I want you to write vision every day. I'm like, every day? Like, that's intimidating. And I didn't know how to quite to do that, but I did actually have some success. And, you know, I kind of ran out of ideas to write vision on. So during this time, I was permitting my garage studio, which I moved into so I could rent my house because health was just such a mess. And the permitting in Los Angeles, if anyone knows what I'm talking about, is like a nightmare beyond belief. And I'm an interior designer. I've built things. I've worked with a very big entertainment company. I know the process. We did everything right, but you know, the building inspector and the length of time and the costs were incredible. So one day I was bored and I'm writing vision. I'm like, okay, can this state, this, you know, permitting just be done in a blink of an eye? Because it's just like be off my shoulders already. Like, that's what I wrote, you know, and I wrote some other things, but so I had this PRG 3 months ago, and one of the people I sat down with was a gentleman who's a contractor who does these ADUs, which are these additional building units that people can have. He does them all the time, left and right. He knows what he's talking about, and I trust him deeply, and he gave me, as we do in this room, like his full heart and attention. He looked at all my information. He looked at that. Thank you, I see. And at the end, he goes, you know, it's really honorable that you want to do that. And I love the way he said that. But you can't afford it. You know, it's probably another $70,000. They're going to make you redo the electrical, redo the plumbing, redo the roof beams, you know, redo the foundation. And I've not been earning much money. So you know, I went on my way. I was grateful for that. He also said, and this is what I needed to hear, he said, the building department is so crazy busy, they're not going to come find you in your little back studio and yank you out and make you tear it down. Like, that's just not going to happen. So you don't need to be afraid. So it's weeks later, and I'm looking over some other visions, and I come across this. It was done in a blink of an eye. It was off my shoulders immediately. It was exactly what I'd written down in my vision. I was like, holy crap. So I really think this stuff works. It is about, like, how big can you dream? You know, to me, I have a very, very large higher power. You know, my higher power knows in 1 square foot in my yard, he knows every single piece of grass, knows every single blade of glass, like made every piece of grass and every bug and critter underneath the dirt. And also, if you go back on a plane, on a spaceship, go out way into the cosmos, all that, not just the planets and the universes that you see, but all the space in between is my higher power. So when I think about visions, I think my higher power is saying, I adore you. I made you. What do you want? We can make that happen. You know, and DA reminds me of that too. DA says, you know, that you're worthy. It's not just like getting through and surviving. It's being worthy of more. There's a famous Al-Anon lady named Vinoy Shah, and she said that she was talking to someone, he was actually passing away, and he said, tell them that they are princes and princesses of a great king that loves them, you know. And I like to remember that because I get God small and I get really intense trying to make things safe, you know, because I'm scared all the time. And I don't have to be. There's a lot out there that we are worthy of, and we just need to have the courage to reach for it and to find what it is for ourselves. So, I think I need to listen to these guys for a while and get some bigger ideas, because my visions are still way too small and too safe. But that's all I've got for you guys. Take care.
Thank you to our speakers for their experience, their strength, their hope today. Please, can we have another round of applause?